Recording now. So we'll just put that there. So just try and be a bit clear when you're sort of talking and delivering. Just try and be a little bit, make sure that you're loud enough to be heard.
And you've also got these forms, so standard procedure. So when somebody's speaking, somebody's scribing for them. So just, you know, capturing a little bit of information about the project, feedback in general, and setting three targets. Okay, the target part is really important. So please don't write any names just yet, because otherwise, you know, it gets confusing.
What, darling?
Oh yeah, sorry, Paige, I put it here, so you can spread out.
No worries. And what you probably want to do after this is put this into your sketchbook and maybe get some responses to that, because hopefully you'll generate some ideas from this. Chantelle and I will try and take a more passive role unless it goes awkwardly silent. Okay, we have questions here for if anyone is stuck for a question. It is going to be on a timer.
Yeah.
So what we suggest is that you just quickly give everybody an idea of what your project is. And then just sort of discuss where you're kind of stuck or where you want to go, or if anyone's got any suggestions, please feel free to give some ideas. Otherwise, we will.
Yeah. Right, who wants to go first?
Yeah. Shall I do it? Oh,
go first.
Griffin, thank
okay,
you.
Ruby, would you mind scribing?
Yeah.
So, Griffin, just a quick...
cliff notes of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And use your visuals, everybody. Use visuals to show us. We're visual people. We need to...
Yeah. So my theme for the project is entomology. So like bugs, insects. And at first I was quite stumped as to where to go with the idea. But I'm going for a more... my work's based more on the metamorphosis.
Ooh, very classic.
Yeah. And with that, I want to go in a kind of semi-autobiographical route. Not like heavy focus, but like hints of it. For what I want to do, I want to make a painting, like make painting as like the medium for the piece.
So this is like fine art, Griffin?
Kind of, fine art. Okay. Quite fine art, which is a bit different from what I usually do. Yeah, I think that's roughly.
Okay, so do you want to maybe sort of explain like scale, material,
just
that you're thinking?
Stuff that you've been doing.
Okay, yeah.
What have you been doing?
So this week specifically, I started looking more into painting. I did a quick thing where I looked into the different types of painting. So like watercolor, acrylic, oil. And I'm currently... practicing actually painting a portrait, since last time I did it was a very long time ago, so I thought it would be a good place to start actually doing it again, which I think is going well, which is good because that's kind of what I wanted to do for the piece.
What have you done practically though, apart from the portrait upstairs?
Over here. Originally, when I didn't have too much of an idea of what I was doing, I looked into a lot of paper techniques. I need to add more like writing for it, but I like briefly looked into like pop ups as a potential idea.
Because your main area of interest is illustration, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I looked into origami and a little bit of photo manipulation to see where I could possibly go with that. But then I started getting the idea to do something portrait based,
okay,
with like a hint of like bug. It's going to be like a mixed kind of piece.
It's a little bit close to Hannah's project, which would be interesting. You two could share ideas, because Hannah's doing like biophilia, which is sort of biology and nature crossed with human aspects. So, you know, it's...
Yeah. That's all I've kind of done now, but I was thinking of looking more into different ways of painting, since I've gone for quite a kind of like a basic way of painting people. I want to try being a bit more experimental.
I think time for that has run out. I think you've got this week.
Yeah.
Because basically you need to start making your final major project
for
next week. And we only say that because it's the making of the, you know, drawing the plans, having an idea of where it's going.
Yeah.
Coming up with the calculations for size, then you have to make, if you're doing onto canvases or wood, that has to be made.
Sure, we have the resources.
Yeah, you know. So it's going to literally from next week, the pace
is. It starts really bottlenecking, and the problem is when people aren't ready, then they're also like trying to backfill in their sketchbooks, printing off final evaluations, doing final blogs, and expecting Andy to make them a canvas in like 2 seconds with no real measurements. That's problem. That's problematic, and at that point we just kind of go, it's your problem.
Okay.
You deal with it.
So, you know, just be very aware of Griffin and, like, you know, look at your time planning. I think out of what I've seen in your sketchbook, and I don't know you guys, the actual images of the butterflies with the eyes, your eyes, was really interesting. And I think that could have been exploited a little bit further.
Okay.
Because how are you going to mix the biophilia, the sort of metamorphic idea, in with the illustration of your self-portrait?
Well, I was going to do a bit more for manipulation, actually, and like merge like two images together and get like a rough idea. And I saw the other day like what you were doing with the printer,
moving stuff on the printer.
Yeah, I wanted to try seeing if I could do something with that kind of like merges two images together. I was going to look into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm.
You guys, questions from you guys or comments or suggestions?
If you don't have one naturally, pick a question out of the pot. Okay. Ellie, do you want to go around?
What are you going to do next?
Well, kind of said, but I'm going to finish off what I was painting and start doing a bit more photo manipulation and
I think at this point
concept.
As well, then, when it says, like, what we're going to do next, it's like, let's put a time frame as well.
Yeah.
So you are doing that next, finishing off that portrait
today. And then if I have time, like after I've done that, I'll start looking into the photo manipulation. If not, I will be doing that tomorrow and figuring out the final concept or at least a rough thing for what I'm planning to make.
So I would put this all on your time planner
so
that you're following your own time structure.
Yep. Okay.
This is really important now.
Mm-hmm.
Paige?
Have you identified a specific audience for your work? If not, can you think of someone?
It's more of a rough audience right now, but because of like the source material I'm using, Metamorphosis, highly up to interpretation, but my interpretation kind of saw it as sort of like a person struggling with like depression sort of, or like anxiety, stuff like that, which is why it's kind of autobiographical, I feel like, because it's kind of similar to me sometimes.
So this is kind of educational, or inspirational.
Yeah, so I was thinking more like audience being more kind of like people with similar experiences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, why did you select your theme?
I selected the theme originally because it was something that is quite like interesting to me. I really like insects and bugs and stuff. I think it's really interesting in nature. And I thought picking something that actually like means something to me would be a good idea for the project, since it's quite a long time thing.
Griffin, you're looking at metamorphosis, so is that what the interest is? The evolving of from one thing to another?
Yeah, a little bit.
Bugs are kind of the motif, but the theme is the metamorphosis.
Oh, okay, right. It's the text itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean just the book, I mean metamorphosis.
Oh, okay, right.
In general.
It's quite a big part of like insect life.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite important. Without it, it wouldn't exactly work the way that it is. And seeing how the different stages work is quite like amazing when you see like this like a small thing turn into something really beautiful.
What do you guys think when you think of metamorphosis?
Yeah, I think of like a butterfly and a caterpillar.
Yeah.
Totally. So, and often you think that the stage before is the more negative stage. To me, when I think of metamorphosis, I think that the second stage is the more positive because obviously the caterpillar that is. I don't mean to shade caterpillars here. Aren't that attractive?
Mm.
yet you get then this really, really beautiful thing. So the idea of metamorphosis is, you know, if you hunker down on that, it actually has a lot more meaning to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's about change, isn't it? And if you add it to a human kind of aspect, it is about growing,
yeah,
changing, becoming something else, and something more positive, isn't it?
Mm.
So really going back to that sort of audience, Griffin, it's thinking about what you're trying, you're sort of almost giving hope.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of aspiration that you can go from the dark, change,
yeah,
and come out into the light. So, you know, I think that's very important to really pin down in that sketchbook.
Yeah.
And document some wider context about that as well.
Yeah.
So can I just ask, like, is this just going to be like a giant, you know, how big, like a big canvas? With one sort of illustrated self-portrait of you with butterflies and insects?
I was kind of thinking of like a half and half painting. Originally I wanted to do that one where it's like you see it from a different angle, but I don't think with the time I'd be able to do that. So I was thinking of changing it to just being not like a huge, huge canvas, but like a much bigger one than I'm currently working on upstairs. With like half human, half like insect, kind of roughly like that. I'm still kind of working out the exact layout, but something similar to that.
Yeah, I'll pin that down, ready for Monday.
Well,
yeah.
We do still have time, you know.
I know.
Have, like, almost a month. But it comes down to a few things. Effort.
Yeah.
Time management. Organisation. Okay?
Yeah.
And those are things that me and PJ have no control over.
Mm.
Only you have control over that.
Yeah.
Okay? So you need to make a decision fairly quickly about how much effort and motivation and time you're willing to give this project.
Yeah, because I've not really seen you sort of demonstrate that you've looked at lenticulars and, you know, so everybody
or
lent
to the archives and looked at their collection.
A lenticular is, you know, one of those images where, you know, you go from one side and it changes, you know, when you're in airports and they rotate and it becomes another image, you know, and it's from three sides. It's like, I thought that was a very good metaphor on metamorphosis, but, and there is still time, but I haven't seen it exploited, you know, like I said to you about cutting up images and distorting them, or, you know, like getting a Toblerone style shape and putting three images on three different sides and lots of them and then turning them over, and, you know, it's, because I kind of feel at this point that just half a painting with just half a face and half an insect is just kind of you thinking on the spot. I think it's, I would really give it some thought, Griffin.
Okay.
You know,
kaleidoscopes that are literally transforming.
Yeah, like kaleidoscopes, you know, just, it's, you know, if you're looking at butterfly wings, you know, the way they merge together, it's... Gucci, was it just your question quickly?
Oh, it just says, tell us about your drawings.
I don't really have too many of them actually in the sketchbook, but I've been looking into like different styles for the actual piece, because right now I was looking into quite like realistic, which I think I'm going to stick with, but I was also like potentially doing something with a bit more stylization. I'm still going to have the one that I'm doing stylized, but not to as much as a degree as on one page in my sketchbook I have done.
Thank you. Right, let's move on to Kelly.
Yeah, so Griffin, if you wouldn't mind, could I
Kelly? Yeah. I'm basically, my theme is nature, and I was looking more into, like, I was going to do insects at first, but then I just wanted to look more into flowers as
Why?
I did it. I don't know, I like flowers, like, I like, what, like, you know when you walk through, like, a field and stuff, and you just see, like, the flowers and everything and the views. That's what I liked the most, so I decided to do more into flowers and the different types, like daisies and orchids and everything. So I stuck with that. And then I started going into metalwork, as you said, that that's what I'm really good at. So I was going to make jewellery to do with flowers.
What do you think you're good at?
I think I'm good at metal as well. Like, I actually really enjoyed doing the cow metal and everything. So I wanted to do more metal as well, and I basically I picked out like flowers and stuff. Obviously they're dead, but I took out flowers and stuff, and then I drew them, like, observational. I don't have my sketchbook right now, but yeah.
Wow.
And then
where is your sketchbook?
I actually left it at home.
Okay.
Yes, of it. And then I drew it, and then used, like, I used different, like, media. So I used, like, pen and everything. Like, one would be in pencil, and I did little quick sketches out of pen and everything.
Have you got any jewellery you've made?
No, but I do.
Paper or
no, but
or
I made, I can get it. It's, like, a wax. It's a flower, but it broke a bit. Like, I was just trying to experiment with different things, like Anna said, to, like, so basically I'm going to melt, like, poot in the metal and then see if I'm able to make, like, a flower out of it, like, just, like, a design. But I'm going to obviously make it out of wood, the actual outline, and then pour in the poot in when it's melted, if it works.
Poot in, like...
Yeah, poot
like
in the metal.
President.
No, no, it's called, it's actually called poot in. It's a metal.
Is it not Putin?
Oh, yeah, that one, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I thought it's Putin.
Well,
although
first tip.
Although, would be happy if you
I was like the Russian, yeah, why are we putting Putin in? Kelly, work on your glossary. And your
yeah,
language.
I guess.
Understanding your terminology.
If you're
yeah.
using Putin,
the wrong,
then, you know, that could
yeah.
be slightly dangerous.
But also on a serious point, Kelly, Anna did tell you to do this last week.
Yeah, I know.
And it's still not done.
I made the flower, like, the wax one, but we
but
couldn't,
like,
we couldn't find the metal yet.
Mold making. I know how quick these
we couldn't
are.
Find, I couldn't get any of the metal, like, I was just going to have to use copper. But then we ended up finding some in Andy's workshop. And then now I'm just going to melt it and then see if it works into...
I think
doing
you've
it.
Got to be careful, Kelly, because you've picked, though you like metal work, you know,
yeah.
there's quite limited support in creating sort of jewellery. So realistically, you're going to have to probably make jewellery out of different materials that if you had the money and the time, you
yeah.
would convert. And so you're going to have to sort of create, if I was going to, you know, if I was making this in actual metal, this is what it would be.
Yeah,
so
jewellery doesn't have to be metal.
But what you're going to need to do is back it up with some examples in different materials.
Yeah, I was going to do, like, something out of clay as well and just try it out and, like, one out of, like, wood or something, but I don't think the wood one was going to work.
Again,
like,
you need to try it all out.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, time, you really should be starting to make your finals.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know.
About it.
Questions from the floor, or comments, or suggestions?
Yeah, any. So, you, so Kelly, you're basically making flower jewellery based
yeah.
on what's the theme?
Nature.
Yeah, make a bit more detail. There's a lot of flowers out there, and a lot of flowers mean a lot of different things. Don't
no,
you?
I was more just looking into just flowers in general, like the ones that I like, and then I was just gonna make the jewellery out of, like, the ones that I've always liked and always looked at and picked out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I probably think if I were you, I'd probably add a bit more weight to that, a bit more depth, you know, because you're still very much on that I like.
Yeah.
Which we kind of expect at this point, you know,
we
some justification behind that, you know, because it doesn't quite... You have to justify every kind of, like, thought behind the project. So, you know, you talked about those sort of lovely sort of vistas of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Going in a bit depth of why
yeah.
will really help you, you know, and why you're selecting the flowers that you are. Try and avoid I hate, I like, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's very, very basic.
Yeah, for everybody that is. It's at this point we need to really sort of work on that sort of sophisticated language. Ruby, do you want to start?
Instead of a question, I was just going to say you could, like, maybe, like, what you're just saying about adding a bit of weight to it, if you have any, like, family members, like, even, like, your mum or someone who likes a specific flower, or always, you always get them, you always get her a specific flower for, like, Mother's Day or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could say that you're bringing a sense of, like, home or comfort to, like, the work that you're making.
Yeah, like, my gran loved freesias.
My mum loves orchids.
Well, so again, do you get what we're saying, sort of hunkering down and being like, so then as like Ruby's saying, it becomes then, it's actually sort of a love letter to your mum,
yeah.
And creating this jewellery in response.
For my mum, there's your audience, there's a specific theme, there's specific imagery.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe like I'm creating jewellery for my mum.
So what I would specifically do orchids then, because like that's my mum's favourite flowers.
That's
so I would just stay into like orchids.
Correct. If that's the route you're taking.
Yeah.
But that's a suggestion. That's not us telling you.
Yeah, like I don't really expect to suddenly see orchids, Kelly. I kind of think you're intelligent enough to select another flower that means another thing from another person. Because you've done orchids, you see, as well.
Yeah, I know how.
You've got to remember as well, you've done all this on your last project.
Yeah.
We've been here, you know. We've seen.
Yeah. You know. So you've got to change it up.
Yeah.
So, Griffin, I know you're scribing, so.
Right.
Paige?
You've kind of already answered this, but why did you select your theme?
Okay.
Like other than like metal work, what techniques are you going to use? Like if there's any others other than,
I don't know, I might do clay as well and try it out, because I've done clay before, so that's one of my strengths as well, is just creating stuff out of clay. So
okay.
I think I'm gonna try some clay out, yeah, ceramics.
Yeah, you need to get on that straight away.
Yeah, so I would
yeah.
probably, again, like same with Griffin, write down like, right, I am going to go and create some ceramic examples of different flowers,
yeah.
you know, immediately. You might want to, you know, work from some real life flowers in response.
Mm.
So you're kind of like drawing with the clay as you go along.
Yeah.
Would probably be a very good idea. And limit the time, be like, right, this afternoon.
It's all the time I've got to do this.
You know, tomorrow is all the time I've then got to go and do that in like a different, like, clay or plasticine or...
The time for smelling the roses, Kelly, is over. You have to start making some stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Right, let's move on. We've run out of time. Page. Next is next. Paige!
So, little idea on the design?
So, my theme is, like, nature, but, like, the fantasy type of thing. So, I'm focusing more on like mushrooms for like nature wise, and I've been doing a bit of like lino, so I've done lino prints of like different mushroom types, but I'm like creating wallpaper, or attempting to create wallpaper out of the lino.
So it's moved on from illustration to now,
well, it's kind of
pattern?
Still a little bit illustration wise, but it is,
but its function is surface.
Yeah, exactly. It's more fine art based as well, but I guess...
I think you need to get a little bit hotter in terms of
So at the moment I'm trying to do, like, add more colour into
mm-hmm.
it, since they're mostly black and white. So I'm going to be using inks, like an
mm-hmm.
ink wash maybe.
So Paige,
yeah.
sort of coming out of sort of technique and processes at this point, how do you... see the final thing.
Yeah,
at this point, it's going to be a bit woolly, so don't, you know, like, you don't have to be like, it's this, and this, but how do you see these mushrooms? Where are they, you know, like, you know, in a room or a wall?
On a wall, I'd
say. In what form?
Could it be a bit more, like, what do you mean by what form?
Well, you know, is it fine art? Is it ceramic? Is it woodwork?
Fine art.
Okay, so what material would you be doing it onto?
Paper, probably. So I wanted to continue with the lino printing, or maybe collages. Either lino or collage, I'm not completely sure just yet.
So you don't want to actually create any wallpapers?
No, I'd like to create wallpaper, but like printing onto the paper for the wallpaper.
Okay, so how will you display the wallpaper, do you think, at this point? Is it going to be like in a room or in a doll's house? Or will it assert, or like material, like a book of different designs? Or are you planning to paste your wallpaper on the wall?
Yeah,
or?
I was thinking pasting it on the wall more so, but that would be quite a large scale, so... Yeah, I'd like to do that. I feel like it'd be
What do you guys, so tell us a bit more about these mushrooms so these guys can give you a bit of an idea. You know, you did nature, why mushrooms?
Well, I remember when I was younger, we used to see like mushroom rings a lot of the time. So my grandparents used to tell me that they were like magic. So I wanted to bring that into it, and like I've also gone.
So it's funny that you haven't done any any circles with the mushrooms.
I did think about doing that for one wallpaper print, but I haven't actually done that yet. I didn't know how it would look. I didn't know.
How do you think things will look? How do you find that out?
By doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what do we do when we do it? When we finish doing it?
I'm not sure.
We assess it.
Yeah.
And evaluate it, don't we?
Yeah.
And we sort of look at what's working and what's not working. And if it doesn't work, we sort of work out why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And we document that. And then we move on to the next test or experiment. Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you've got to get out of your head of trying to predict it,
mm-hmm.
and just actually sort of do it, and then look at it and get opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why you'll probably find that you have these sticking points. It's just, it's, you know, because the ideas are great, but you have to kind of do it.
Yeah.
Again, UAL aren't concerned about final pieces. They're not limiting factors. They are concerned about your journey and the recording of that journey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you exploring this in its broadest sense.
I have done a tie-dye t-shirt which I'm planning on lino printing on top of. It's just
but I think
at
you
moment.
Need to decide on the function of this work, okay?
Yeah.
Because illustration is one thing, fine art is another, textile design for interiors is another.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay,
now you're saying fine art, but what you're describing is surface pattern for interiors.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a functional thing. It's like it has a function, it has a purpose.
Okay.
If you were saying, I'm going to cover an entire room in this wallpaper and then create three-dimensional mushrooms that people sit on and whatever, then that's more fine art.
Okay.
But if they're just going on a wall and maybe you've got a table with a lamp, maybe with the same pattern on it, that then is surface pattern.
Okay.
So you really, really need to decide on the function of this work.
Mm-hmm.
What is it for?
I just think, Paige, I'm making this, where do I want it to go if it's me? You know, it's my project, my delivery, you know, in my world.
So more so be the surface pattern then.
Okay,
that's
cool, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you can have like a little cushion with the circle pattern and, you know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do we make, you know, so we've got mushrooms, we've got wallpaper. Now, mushroom wallpaper sounds dead boring at this point. Because mushrooms aren't a very nice colour, are they?
No. Well, some of them, I've got...
There's different mushrooms, isn't
yes.
Ah,
I've got various different types.
So what mushrooms do you think you're going to use?
Well, I want to use the inky cap mushrooms. I've got pictures in the sketchbook. Sorry, one sec. Here. These are the type of mushrooms I was thinking more sort of using for...
Which one's the inky cap?
That one.
Okay.
The top. And this one, the fly agaric one.
Fly agaric.
Yeah. I also like the purple pinwheel and like.
Looks like little umbrellas, don't they?
Little
umbrellas.
They do.
Because you're doing. Do you want to push the surrealist edge?
I think it would be quite interesting to go surrealism.
So, you know, could somebody. Something surreal, like somebody holding one of the mushrooms, like it's an umbrella if you're doing illustration, you know, or you put... Wait a minute, was it Lucci, did you use fungi and give them, or was that Reese where they had like a face, or...
Lucci did flowers.
Oh, we put little characters, didn't we, like little... didn't you have like a plant that had a face on it?
Yeah, I think Reese also did that with like mushroom people.
So maybe you want to speak to Reese or like with Lucci because they actually made some quite surreal prints and drawings using.
But that's if it's illustration.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You need to make that decision like now this afternoon.
Yeah.
And stick to it. It kind of seems to me, looking at your sketchbook and having observed your practical stuff, it is more of the surface pattern kind of direction. So I would just stay with that for this project. Yeah, we started with it, so just carry on with it. It's a bit late in the day to be diverting too much. you could bring in that sort of magical element with the materials that you use. You could add glitter to these, or like have them in sort of fantastical colours, or you know, things like that to make them a bit more magical and a bit more fantastical.
That's a good idea. Think about your materials, you know, like, you know, to make these things more fantasy.
To ramp it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, more suggestions and questions from the floor.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're writing, Kelly, so don't worry.
Okay,
brilliant. Right. Fire away, Paige.
What are your strengths?
Well, I feel like the lino prints I've done are quite strong. It's just, it can be quite messy, so I have just need to work on that a bit more, but I do feel like that's one of my strong points, along with watercolour painting, because I've done watercolour paintings of the mushrooms as well, so I feel like that worked out quite well.
Right, Hannah?
What do you think is a weakness in your project, and how will you go about fixing it?
It's the second-guessing everything, I guess. Like, me thinking in my head, oh, is this going to look good instead of just doing it? Yeah, I'd say that was a weakness.
What have you got to lose?
True.
You know, like, who's really judging anybody? You know, we're in art school, and the whole point is that you be strong enough to show your vulnerability in your art and make mistakes, because there isn't really that any such thing as a mistake.
Yeah.
And you're limiting your own experience.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How well have you been using your time?
I feel like I've been using well, but I do need to speed up a bit more.
I think it's been used terribly.
Oh.
Okay, and I'll say that because it's an 11-week project, yes? And this is week 7. You know, and even if you did a sketch, 2 sketchbook pages a week, that would be over 14 pages. You know, so again, just to be a bit of a reality check, no, that isn't good use of time, you know, for where you're at. So just be aware that actually you maybe need to re-look at your own ambitions and what your ideas of time management is, Paige.
Yeah.
Okay?
And be really, really specific.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Did you just do that?
Yeah. I was wondering if you've been looking, if you have any specific artists that you've looked at to inspire your work.
I have a few artists that I've looked at, but I don't know if they've inspired my work very heavily, but Salvador Dali is one of the artists that I've been looking at, and Man Ray, and there's another one as well, but I can't remember her name at the moment. Paula Rego. Yeah.
Okay, but if you're doing the surface pattern angle page, you need to look at some surface patterns.
I've got a book, and I think there's actually a book with a little mushroom pattern on it. I'll get a few up to this page.
Thank
I think that will really give you a bit of guidance, and you'll be like, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, fabulous. Thanks, Paige.
Cool.
Right, and then move on lastly to Anno.
It's
been
a while to go.
Sorry, everyone. Anna, please.
So my theme is biophilia and how sort of we're connected to nature, and how I've been looking at how it affects like well-being and mental health positively. But I've also been looking at I don't know. I thought that was a bit boring by itself. So I've been looking at like mythological sort of creatures to do with nature and sort of linking it all together. So yeah, that's my theme. And I Well, I feel like the whole biophilia thing is, I don't know, I like nature a lot. And I find I find mythological sort of stories and
why do we think nature's important? Let's give it another hand. Why is it important? Like what, like to all of us, like, you know, to all of you, why is nature really important to you? Because
keeps us alive.
It's a source of joy, isn't it? You know, like again, isn't nature the most beautiful thing? And you know,
should we
celebrated and cherished.
Yeah. It kind of also it dictates, like, it shows us a passing of time from growth to decay. You know, there's a cycle there. You know, like, and this is what we want to sort of encourage, you know, like, what, you know, and that's it, Hannah, it's find out, like, what is it? You know, like, why is human nature so, should be celebrated, you know, because we live off it as well. Without it, we couldn't survive.
Mm-hmm. You also, know, what's your progression after this course?
Oh, yeah, illustration. So
it has to have some kind of narrative.
Yeah. I've been, I've got some poems that I've been looking at, sort of to do with biophilia somewhere. I don't know. They're somewhere in that. But also the sort of mythological aspects. I've mainly been focusing on this book called Nature Spirits. And
so the connection to me, like, what's your connection in the mythology to nature and humans? Do you find, is there a link for you other than just creatures that are to do with nature?
Honestly, not yet, but...
Well, I'll give you a key word, paganism.
Okay.
So paganism was a celebration of nature. And
okay.
So a lot of creatures, mythological creatures, have sort of been born out of paganism. Mm-hmm. Like, and you start to think of Pan and, you know...
Yeah,
like
green man.
The green man and... Yeah, so that's kind of where you'll get that mythological connection.
And in most religions, most ancient religions, all the gods and goddesses kind of link to some kind of natural element. If you think about Poseidon and characters like that, so that's a good one to bring in. But also, my suggestion of you to look at the Trees Alive, sea shepherds, actual living people who are guardians of nature.
Yeah, real life guardians almost to celebrate, you know, people that have become, you know.
Myths and legends, David Attenborough, Gerald Durrell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've been looking at the great goddess, like Mother Nature as
beautiful.
Well. Sort of. This one is one of my favourites. They're called, I don't know if it's Devas or Devas, but they're like these sort of like flower people. I thought they were
really
cool.
Good.
But, I made, I don't know. The petals are breaking, but
it's
sort of wanted to like redesign some of these characters. I made like a tiny, the petals are broken off. But
I can see his
little
face.
Yeah, like kind of my interpretation of it. But and practical wise, I started with doing some ink washes. Just with different materials.
Don't go into too much detail.
Okay.
If you want to wash this in here, if you don't, then please leave.
Yeah. and then I decided to do some collagraph printing, basically of sort of like a border of like plants and stuff, so I can illustrate in the centre, because I'm sort of going for that like kind of surrounded by nature feel. Sort of like engulfed in it, I don't know.
So have you drawn any characters of your own?
I have. They're on my iPad and I forgot to bring it.
But actually in your sketchbook?
Not in my sketchbook, no.
Okay. Well, it's going to be quite important, guys, as well, like Hannah as well, for illustration, that if you are going to use human faces, then you are actually drawing from real life some human faces.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good they are, but showing that you're looking and observing and looking, because with these illustrations you're doing digitally, they're all going to be just front-facing people, like face on.
No.
You know, so you do want to kind of look at some different angles and compositions. I also think as well, sorry, Chantel, sorry, guys, you know, like you're doing this flora and fauna, but there's other areas of nature, isn't there? There's like the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't you do another one that's actually corals around the edge?
Yeah.
You know, like break them into the elements. You know, because three floral ones will be very gentle, but you know, there won't really be a contrast in colour. You know, where if you go down
imagery motifs.
Yeah, and imagery. Yeah, so you've got an opportunity to like maybe explore some other areas of nature.
Definitely.
In that way.
Mm-hmm. So the collagraph printing, I kind of went for this colour palette because it's sort of like the turquoisey and like tealy colours art, well, they seem a bit more mythological, fantasy.
See?
Yeah.
We were evidencing. You know, is there somewhere where you've actually seen that and you're like, right, that green really fits to that? You know, because again, it's like it just becomes subjective, and if you've not
okay.
got anything to pin that down, then
yeah.
it's just like if someone was coming in and looking for your sketchbook without any knowledge of you, they might not find that link
okay.
and be like, why has it got to be green?
Yeah.
You know, why has it got to be turquoise?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just make sure that you underpin that as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I did some sort of, I did some leaf prints as well, where I just basically got leaves and stuff from outside and printed them, basically.
How are you going to infuse all of these things together?
As in, like...
Are you going to approach it as like a mixed media thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did want to, yeah. I did think the idea of like the paper cutting and sort of like a piece that has depth, I really like that idea, and I think I would like to do that for my final piece. Yeah.
So we were just talking about, you know, Hannah just sort of gets bigger and bigger. Hannah, do you want to show the main
paper cutting, yeah.
one that you cut out? So what Hannah means is that she does a bigger collagraph with the forms and flora coming in, and then a bigger one than that, so it's like layered.
Yeah.
That's fine, but I'm just wondering where the digital stuff comes in.
I guess the digital was more experimental, of like just like drawing characters
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess that won't be.
That's fine, but if the characters need to be created in analog techniques, you kind of need to get on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to see you have a colour during an image, a human image in collagraph.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it'd be, you know, slightly different.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
about that building up and layering
mm-hmm.
the face, you know, where you're working on tone then, and like using string and wool for the detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
okay.
if you're collagraphing or even like silk screen, combining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, okay. Questions on the floor? Comments on the floor? Suggestions? You are doing Hannah's project. What would you do next?
What pathway and disciplines are you going to explore? As in, like, I guess go on to do now. So I did want to create some more 3D characters of like the mythological ones. You know, like the artist you showed me yesterday. I did do some research on him.
But the pathway and discipline is still illustration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just broadening out your understanding of illustration.
Okay. So. Yeah, well, I guess more collagraph prints and possibly silkscreen. I did want to do some lino as well, but I'm not sure if I have the time. I don't know. Maybe.
That's up to you.
Okay.
You know when the deadline is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Between now and then, it's for you to manage.
Mm.
I think you've got time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll do some lino as well, I think.
I think you've all got time to do
whatever
10 times as much as you're
yeah.
doing. But that depends on how devoted and if you don't have a life outside of college. Whereas
time,
I don't
effort,
have a life.
Motivation.
And I breathe art. So, you know, for me, it's, again, but I'm a million years down the line. You guys are, you know, I know how difficult it is to do something longer than 15 minutes sometimes, you know, before needing a break. So, you know, that is a skill that you will build up as you go along. And for people with no attention span, you do lots of things at the same time to keep that up. But when you're yawning, Kelly, that's a low attention span. So, you know, it's about putting lots of targets in so that you can keep that inspiration up.
But be fixed. Just say, like, for this morning I'm doing rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just have that morning and then move on
to
something else. Be strict with yourself.
But the more the better. The more
the
better.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really exciting. Right, one more question. Let's just help somebody.
Have you used a broad range of primary and secondary research sources? Describe them.
I think so. Well, in my sketchbook, I've got a lot of plans as well for other things I'm doing. But I've been I went to a lot of galleries to begin with as primary research.
Were they all useful?
I think not all of them. because this was sort of before I had my, like, a solid idea of what I was doing, but I was in Canterbury seeing my sister, and there was a lot of galleries there.
It was good to get out and see some great art, isn't it?
I really liked this person, sort of, it's kind of difficult to see, but they did, like, sculptures of the human form, but if you, you don't know if you can see it, but if you look closely, it's sort of like flowers that I've made up.
Which you could do.
Yeah.
With all your leaf prints, building that up over a mannequin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And take a photograph of. You know, these are all really quick little projects.
Yeah. And I've got more just gallery visits.
But going to see galleries is like one type of activity for primary research.
Have you drawn any plants?
Yes.
Yeah. What's really handy is you back them up with your own photographs.
Yeah, I've
so
got photos
on
my
phone.
I need to print them out and stick them in. Karen's exhibition as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting because she did sort of how water connects people, and I thought that was quite helpful. Yeah.
You know, you've got flora.
Mm-hmm.
You could do water.
Yeah.
You could do fire.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, wind, fire, water.
Yeah.
The elements done.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to bring some wider context.
Yeah.
I'm still not really seeing wider context.
Okay.
I'm seeing things that are naturally fitting into the narrative, but they're not the really expansive investigations into like the mythological people who are actually real people, Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is, David Attenborough,
paganism.
Paganism, tree guardians, you know, all these sort of things that are backing up the idea.
Yeah.
You know, knots in trees that look like faces, you know, who don't you well over the years I've seen I've got a particular one, my mum used to call it the rhinoceros branch, you know, in my growing up there was a tree that snapped and fungus had grown in it, it used to look like a rhinoceros. You know, you're doing it biophilia, it's images within. So it's like, did you look at Bjork? Like
I suggested,
at that album in particular.
Yeah,
and
I really like the album covers and stuff.
Even festivals that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she means by
wider context and the research. Like going to the Maritime Museum, looking at their oodles of collections and mythological characters based on Jersey folk legends.
Like
Roman and Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where all like the sun gods, the sea god, you know,
Egyptian,
Poseidon,
Japanese,
all those cultures. You know, you got to kind of immerse yourself in it. You know, like you're doing an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're building up a case.
Okay.
That's the best way to attack it.
Yeah.
But no, fab. Listen, you've got a really beautiful style. What do you guys think?
I really
of
like
the actual
one.
Thank you.
And I can imagine it all layered up as
well. Yeah, I think it would look really nice with like some coloured lighting too.
Right. Did you see last year's Katie Pope's exhibition last year with the underwater, which was kind of a lame thing. So there's even stands that she's left.
Okay. Cool.
So if you've been clever.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Right, thank you, Hannah.
Cool.
Right, so I'm doing fairies in Jersey folklore, and like my beginning place was kind of looking at what they used to be, and I was thinking of like a way, because I wanted to do illustration, I thought of how I could do a narrative, and then I thought, how can I show it going from the old times to the modern times? So, yeah. Let me just restart my brain.
What's your discipline?
Yeah.
Illustration. So I started off by just like looking at broad terms of illustration. I tried looking at like 3D illustration, like can I make little models and draw off of that, put them in a scene, photographic, can I make illustrations out of that, and then I tried it and I was like, nah, I didn't think
just wasn't for you.
And A thing I wanted to try was how like fairies in modern day would work.
Okay,
so
sort of like contemporary
yeah.
fairies.
So I started off by just looking at, oh, would their appearance change in modern day? And then from there I went, like, what are modern day standards and like how would fairies fit to that? So I got onto the idea of like fairies and like magazines and like gossip magazines, and just to have like a more light-hearted view on it, because
some humour.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
So then I started looking at lino print, because the like slogans in like a gossip magazine, the titles kind of remind me of like lino prints, so I tried doing some of that. Yeah, I looked at Barbara Kruger.
Yay!
Basically.
Sorry.
And but I figured it looked a little too propagandary, so
yeah.
I started to step away from that and just like look at, so I studied again like what does a magazine cover look like, and like it's very busy and like kind of confusing. So I looked into collage.
Especially the very trashy magazine.
Yeah. So I looked into collage because they're all like very visually confusing and like cluttered it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So and I also thought it linked to like the whole concept of fairies, like humans don't really understand them. So like a collage is like whimsical and dreamlike and like you can't quite understand it, but you see what's there. So I tried that out. And then linking to that, I looked at paper cutting and like layering up to just to get the more illustrative qualities in there rather than just photography. So I just made like a little magazine kind of thing, and then I worked into it like just a little mock-up digitally.
Have
you
done
look.
Some investigations into sort of Dadaist artwork and fanzine and sort of punky?
Yeah, it's just written up on my laptop right now and I need to transfer it to my sketchbook.
But have you picked up anything from that you
yeah.
can bring into your
I looked at fanzines, but I wasn't really sure if that's the direction I wanted it to go, because it was a little too like punk rock and roll, and I kind of wanted to do more like
humor.
Yeah,
it's
like
hysterical.
A tongue-in-cheek
yeah.
commentary on like
you should look at Mad magazine, it's called.
Okay.
Which is sort of like a satirist. Sort
yeah.
of, it used to be a magazine. I don't even know if you can get it anymore. It's probably online, but it used to be called Mad, and there's like these, and it's very illustrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be sort of looking at the sort of, you know, the more darker edges of life and
yeah.
laughing at the sort of ironies and contradictions. And
there's quite a big movement within collaging, contemporary collaging at the moment, of this sort of like playing around with surrealism, sort of like splicing together sort of like weird backgrounds of sort of space scenes with sort of like 1950s housewives doing the hoovering, sort of like all of this sort of like changing up of imagery. There's a particular Parisian artist called Pacaud, which is spelled P-A-C-A-U-D. That's he's like Cher, I guess, just doesn't have a second name. But he creates some really quite interesting collages that I think might be helpful for you
okay.
in sort of like playing around with sort of like mysticalness and like surrealism as well.
Yeah.
So, Lucie, are you planning to make like a large scale sort of magazine covering sort of 3D almost? Or
I don't know, because like I looked into making, like I ordered online like a whole load of little samples of what I could do for my final piece,
mm-hmm.
so like.
Mm-hmm.
I could make it into a magazine or like a big old poster or just anything really. But I was thinking right now a magazine and then just like having it displayed with like posters, just like have a shelf with a magazine and then some posters.
I don't know if they do them anymore, but they used to have sandwich boards outside the news agents where it'd be like the headlines of the day.
Yeah.
Like the JP used to promote like the headline of the JP. So maybe that could be like the poster.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, like the most like shocking
yeah. like New Solutions magazine for fairies.
Yeah.
So yeah, like what are these fairies, you know, like these contemporary fairies, what do they sort of cover? You know, obviously traditional fairies, you've got fairy water, you know, tooth fairy.
I was looking like to bring it back to Jersey folklore. I was just like looking into the old legends and like reading into how they came about, and like a lot of them are just like very silly. For example, like La Blanche Dame, like it's supposed to be like this like ghost that you might die if you see it, and she protects the rocks, but in actuality, like there's loads of accounts of a book that I've been studying of it just being men dressing up and just running around at night. So I thought of like a salacious title being like La Blanche Dame. Who is the fairy behind the white sheet? And it could just be a man, you know?
Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good because I was just sort of thinking then, it's like, you know, like we see like these programs like Botched and things like that, you know, like plastic surgery fairy, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking
Instagram fairy, you know, filter fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually in reality she's a hag, but you know.
Yeah.
With her filter magic, you know, it's like, you know, she's there giving that false. Again, I don't know, like, you could make a comment then on Jersey on, you know, there's a very big rich and poor divide sort of happening now. If you're going in that sort of more ethical, thinking those ethical things, you know, it could be like the poor Jersey fairy versus the rich fairy.
You need to sort of think about your audience.
Yeah.
If it's just meant to be humorous trash, then you stick with humorous.
Yeah, it's kind of supposed to be just silly.
Satirical fun.
So maybe look at, have you looked at sort of satirical cartoons and things in publications? Like even the JP, even in like, you know, the tabloids.
Yeah, I'll do that.
They've got those people that will draw the things of today into a satirical imagery.
Oh, shall we look at the Cartoon Factory, who are local illustrators who take stuff that's going on in the States and making satirical cartoons based on them.
For Miss
There's this artist that she kind of inspired the like t-shirt designs that I did, but she's one of those weird ones that just doesn't really say her name, it's just like on Pinterest and stuff. But yeah, she does really good illustrations that are like really about serious topics, or not even serious topics, just like in-depth topics that are really like lighthearted and funny. So I can send you some pictures of her work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that would be a good one if you're going for the silly.
How easy do you think it was to find information for your theme?
It was fairly easy because like just went to libraries and stuff, picked up books on Jersey mythology. There's like plenty of things on Jersey heritage, and then like obviously there's magazines everywhere, so I can just firsthand read from those to gather what I want to reproduce really, and like see what kind of things are written, the kind of things. I lost my train of thought, but basically.
Have you drawn any real fairies?
What do you mean?
That was a trick question, Lindsay. For primary research, you should draw some real fairies.
You could go up to the zoo and draw butterflies, I guess.
Yeah.
Different types of wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just a joke.
Like, it's about sort of like trying to think of things on like a really abstracted level, like obviously you're not going to find real fairies, but you can certainly draw people here because they're still humanoids, they've just got wings on their backs and maybe slightly pointy ears.
I made Reese dress up as Blanche Dame, and then I'm going to do observations of her.
Do you know what I'd be interested in, Lucia, this is just a side note of like why gay men get called fairies.
I'm
wondering where along the lines that became an insult to a gay man.
Yeah.
You know, just because I don't see fairy as an insult, isn't it?
I know.
They're such a fairy.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, like I'm not granting you any wishes.
Yeah, absolutely. You might want to look at this lady as well, Ruth Mora, who's an illustrator, who's quite satirical.
Yeah.
She's really quite funny in what she produces.
Mm. So basically, I just want to like take a topic that's relevant like socially now, but just comment on it just in a light-hearted way.
Yeah,
so just
totally.
Not getting bogged down.
Housing fairy.
Fake
we've got
religion.
Housing crisis.
Housing crisis. Cost of living crisis.
Boris Johnson party fairy.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got the votes coming up, haven't we? The elections.
Sorry, that same girl did it. What? Oh, Danny DeVito. That's his name, isn't it? The actor.
Danny DeVito.
Danny.
He is an actor.
Yes. Yeah. She did this whole like series of like really funny illustrations of him, which was that's a good one if you're looking at stuff like that.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like the butt of every.
Yeah. But they're really good. So yeah.
But Lucci, what I would think about seriously is start making some plans on how you want this to look like on the wall, because it may be making some magazine shelves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, somebody made a magazine stand last year, but it was really clunky and like it was.
It wasn't well executed. It could have been so beautiful.
So you know, starting to look at magazine stands and how magazines are presented and like those more salacious headlines are presented.
Yeah.
We'll really back that up for sure. Anyone else got any input? No, Lucci, do you feel like that's some meaty?
Yeah, lots to get my teeth into.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that's fab. Let's move on to Lastly Ruby. Thank you, Ruby.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
I'm looking at my theme is collectivism. So I started off by, it was my favourite poem, and there was a line in there that made me look into individualism, which then made me look into collectivism.
Now, just before we go any further, could you kind of give us a vague idea of what collectivism is?
Yeah.
You know, that's
So collectivism is like the belief that humans should be together, like there should be communities and we should live in unity. But when I first kind of like was looking at that theme, kind of like sticking with that idea without kind of realizing that it has a whole history behind it. So collectivism is like really historical, so like wars and everything is really collectivist because it's two groups against one another. So individualism and collectivism are kind of intertwined whilst also being opposites, if
wow.
that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's almost like a paradox.
Yeah, so
paradox.
I've kind of been looking at like what like to begin with I was looking at what brings humans together, so stuff that people would enjoy to do in groups kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So after going to Karen's exhibition, I was looking at groups of people who go in the sea, like connected together. And I was just experimenting with materials again. The project that I did last time was very material based as well, and I felt like I was kind of just repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking at projection and the idea of having more than one video to tying them together. So that's like the elements and like religion and stuff. And then it kind of I felt kind of stuck, so I did a brainstorm, and I was looking at community in family. So like in our Western world, we kind of don't. It's like the idea of family being your community has kind of started to collapse. Whereas like in Asian culture, yeah, that's kind of depressing. But in Asian culture, that's like a huge thing, and it's always been about loyalty to your family.
How would you prove that maybe families are starting to, you know, on Western culture, are starting to sort of dissipate and fracture and change?
Yeah, well, I was looking into it, and I think a lot of it is about the like collapse as well of like the normalization of religion. So not everyone is like. It used to be really normal for families to be.
So on a Sunday, we'd go to church, and then what would they do after church?
I don't know, a dinner.
Roast dinner.
So
a good way of sort of exercising those kind of like things is like a survey of like, do you go to church on a Sunday? Do you have a roast dinner with your family?
Yeah.
Do you sit down with your family and have
at a table?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like meal time. You know, so
Yeah, so that's what I, oh, that's in my new sketchbook, but that's what I was looking at here, with, like, even just, like, the different people in our class. Like, Nietzsche was saying, I was looking at rituals and stuff, and she does, like, moon ritual with her family, which is, like, something really different and, like, something that not many people, not many families really do. But yeah, so I went to the Liberation because that's all to do with history and something really relevant to Jersey, which is obviously where we live. And yeah, just looking at
you filmed your mum and gran together.
Did
they want that?
My granny was like,
was that plan maybe, or did you just jump out of a cupboard?
But yeah, like bringing the family back together is kind of what I've been looking at, and then that's the red thread of fate. So that's another like Asian thing. I don't know where the Asian thing is coming, but like it's a belief that the red thread of fate is like the thread that ties people that are destined together
Well, I think it all goes down to blood. I think if you're going to have like literally the colour of blood, you know, often like the healing of wounds, the you know, threat, again, it all links to sort of bloodline, blood, because it's the first colour.
Yeah,
that we all had sort of access to, like,
that then leads to like interesting discussions about sort of like DNA and history.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, me and PJ have both spat in a tube recently to find out our own heritage, and I'm like 48% Scandinavian and got like 5% Italian in me. So then, does that then make me kind of like have more of a connection to Italian culture, because I've got that tiny percentage?
I'm 98% Tahitian.
Yeah,
I'm pure white bread. Scottish, Irish, British. Like, you know, and 2% Norwegian.
But then it's really interesting, like on a molecular level, does then that change your position with who you feel bonded to?
Yeah.
Who you relate to tribally?
Okay, yeah.
So what are you trying to show here, Ruby? A bringing, the connectivity and the bringing together, or like a sort of a healing, something that you get from being connected?
I think kind of both, because I'm looking at this weekend, so I've got two friends who have grown up together, and it's like their families are like that, like they're just, there's like two families like merged together basically, and they've grown up together, like dancing together and everything, and it's really cringe, but like they're like platonic soulmates, you know. So I thought the red thread and like their like relationship would be really interesting to explore. Yeah, and so they're dancers and stuff, and I've been looking a lot at movement and choreography within film.
And it's kind of fusion, isn't it? It's the interconnection and the fusion of, you know, like, because I guess blood, you're again sort of going to sort of Asian, sort of the eastern side of the world, they very much celebrate that when you get to the elders of the group, you're celebrated, you're looked after. The flip side over here is this, we worship youth.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you're saying that, you know, the connectivity is dissipating.
Mm, yeah.
And maybe that's something to do with how we value, you know, within our communities, how we value, you know, people. And maybe the answer isn't to value the youth.
Yeah.
Actually, we should be celebrating the elderly.
Mm, yeah.
And that family unit. You know, if you come to any conclusions from your investigations.
What about?
Just like about where you feel of like how important it is or not important.
I've been looking at like my family, where like my immediate family is really close, but we're not really that close with our wider family.
Yeah.
Whereas like I have friends that are like, again, like these people who even their family friends are like basically their immediate family, like people who have always been brought up in really communal families.
Yeah.
And like for me, like I don't come from a broken family or anything.
No.
But like,
but this isn't really an exploration though, is it, of broken and unbroken, is
no.
it? It's more actual the processes and the connect, how it connects.
Yes.
than
values,
actual
the journey,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
And the in between rather than the actual, you know, it's more just an observation of, you know, because what is a broken family really? And, you know, and often I don't know about you, like you could have probably said that I'm from a broken family, but I created a family very quickly with friends and neighbours, and so I, you know,
we discussed that.
You know, I'm very, you know, like there's a lot of friends, families that I'm more fused in, and then you realise that you then become like a, you're holding people together because you're the connector.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm looking at these two, these families who've been together their whole lives, because we were saying about friends of the family you choose, so that's kind of a good one. But yeah, so I was just kind of looking at the idea of the red thread of fate not just being about soulmates that are like your typical falling in love, like making a family, nuclear family, but more about like the family that you choose and the family that you're connected to by choice.
Can I ask a question of you guys? Do you believe in soulmates?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is a soulmate a lover? Like, is that like the person you marry or soulmate?
Not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily? Anyone else? Can you have more than one soulmate?
I think you can have more than one soulmate.
You don't think you can? You see, I think I've got about four.
Yeah.
Lucky me. and, you know, like, and again, you know, they've not necessarily been partners. You know, so, you know, again, I think you go through, like, again, and this is how individual it is, but for me, I don't know if you've all walked in a room yet or met somebody and been like, oh my God, we're going to be forever,
yeah.
There's something, and you just know, and it's a really beautiful experience, and, you know, and, like, you're all going to have them, because they're amazing.
Sorry,
I'm
going to interrupt.
It's all right, love.
Joy is here with the bowl legs.
Oh, amazing.
Do you want me to deal with it? Or do you want
sorry, I'll just jump out. It's on 12, sorry.
12.
We're not quite at lunchtime yet.
Quarter past.
Oh, it's quarter past 12.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'll be out in 2 minutes.
Thank you,
sorry.
Okay, so practically speaking,
yes,
you're just going to start filming,
start
taking
like
some photographs.
Properly, and because most of the filming that I'm doing is outside of college, I really want to, like, I feel like I need to be doing something in college, because otherwise I feel like I'm just not really.
Well, again, for me, I was like, you know, I suggested like threading, nailing, and visually, and just creating like large scale.
Yeah.
Thing I think you can go just.
But I was, because I did the like face mold, that didn't really turn into anything. But I kind of wanted to explore something like this. Obviously, that's with like proper stuff. But I was just thinking it might be nice in the actual installation of the video for it to have more than one element. So.
So you aiming to create an installation?
Yeah.
That's what you're aiming to do?
Yeah.
You know, because you get tights and then you put
yeah.
something in it, twist it, you know, like again, wire tubing, you
yeah.
know, and you get it in, you can then put an object, twist it, move it along,
yeah,
twist
that's
it, so it's line, like
I'm
something
thinking.
Then you but then I suddenly look at that and I start thinking brain synapses, which connect us. Well, look at the brain and the way the brain functions,
okay.
and you'll find that synapses look like that. And that's what kind of connects, you know, that's where thoughts travel,
okay.
to connect
yeah.
to other parts of the brain.
Okay, I'll
they
look
all
that.
Look a little bit like Fred, little knobble, Fred, little knobble.
Okay, yeah.
So like the idea of synapses.
You might want to look at somebody called Mark Quinn as well,
okay.
who bases a lot of his work on like collectives.
Okay.
Collective identity.
I definitely will then, yeah.
Things like that.
Ruby, I would definitely plan start playing
yeah,
a room coming
will.
Up because there's going to be a bit of scrabble for a room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a bonfire thing.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It's literally going to be a first come first serve who's got the best proposal.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you want your work to convey?
Probably a sense of bringing. To a sense of like family through more than one group of people, so it's kind of like bringing individual groups into collective groups. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What like inspired your theme?
The poem that I was looking at. Yeah, there was a particular like verse from the poem that was kind of reflecting individualism, and then I was looking at what contrasts individualism, and that brought me to collectivism.
One more? Paige?
Have you identified a specific theme for your work? If you haven't, can you think of some?
A specific theme?
Sorry, audience.
Well, it's kind of, it's because it's a fine art project. My audience is kind of whoever feels that they connect with the work, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the theme of collectiveness and social issues impacts everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And
there's very, very few people that it
doesn't
impact.
Yeah, so kind of everyone. Yeah, don't have a specific.
Mm-hmm. Cool, okay, thank you very much. Right. So these forms need to go into your sketchbooks, and they also need to be accompanied by your own notes reflecting on how you're going to respond to this feedback. Okay? Cool. Thank you very much, everybody.
What PJ was saying at the end. So
that's
just
written
magazine.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I have stands too. I can do stands.
Okay,
just
put
it. But was Ruby saying Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
Okay. I did that. Like,
he got nervous and started crying.
Stop this, and none of us have got any hands. Ah, Hannah's got hands. Good job, Hannah, thank you.
Chantal, sorry. This is Beau and Joy.
Hello.
Oh, Boo.